Hey, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going on this series concerning Catholicism and what they believe. Today we're going to keep going with that theme of salvation and justification. Today we're going to talk about purgatory. Now, what is purgatory? A lot of you already know what it is, but for you who don't know, it is this place where the sins, the punishments that you have built up throughout your life, you have to pay for them. And this is the place in which these sins are purged from you. Now, some believe, most Catholics believe, that it is a place of fire where you're actually physically, your sins are being burned and purged from you. Another group of Catholics believe that it's just a place absent from the presence of the Lord, and that's how you're purged of your sins. Okay, so yesterday we talked about how the system of justification and salvation works in Catholicism, and in that you build up your meritorious works, your graces, if you will, and you live a good life. Let's start at the beginning. You've got your first actual grace, and that's where you got your grace to be, have faith and get baptized. Then you get baptized, which removes original sin, and you receive sanctifying grace and initial justification. Then you, with this sanctifying grace, you cooperate with God and the Holy Spirit, and throughout your life, you perform good works, and, well, you earn your salvation, or your account comes up short. And so even though you are doing these good works, and even though when you do sin, and I didn't talk about venial sins yet, but I did talk about mortal sins, these real serious ones. Well, venial sins are the less serious ones. And for every time you sin, you also have basically like an account of temporal punishment. You've got this account of punishment that you also owe. So you've got your meritorious works, your graces, and you also now have your temporal punishment that you're building up. Now, this temporal punishment can be worked off in this life through various ways. And, well, if you don't work it off in this life, that's where purgatory comes in, and you get purged. Let's see. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says it this way. It says, all who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. So, when a person is in purgatory, the Roman Catholics believe that there are ways that you can kind of shorten or hasten their unfortunate stay in purgatory. You can do this by saying prayers. You can give money, giving money to the church, giving alms. And there's, well, a variety of good works that you can perform as well. And this is where we kind of get into the doctrine of indulgences. All right, some of you may have heard of this, but here we go. What is the doctrine of indulgences? What is an indulgence? Well, going back to this heavenly bank account of merit, basically, everybody's got their own, basically, this account of merit, right? These graces. Well, the church has its own account, right? Okay, this is weird, but they have this gigantic reservoir, if you will, of merits. They call it the treasury of the church, and also it's referred to as the treasury of merit. And this treasury of merit is so vast, so full, that it can never be exhausted. All right, so I hate to say it, but kind of puts the Roman Catholic Church in quite a position now. Because they have all the merit. So how do you tap into some of this merit? How can you get a little bit of this merit on your behalf from the church? from this treasury? Well, you can gain a partial indulgence or what's called a plenary or plenary indulgence. A partial indulgence, well, it's exactly what it sounds like. It partially removes a portion of your temporal punishment that you deserve, some of your time in purgatory. A plenary indulgence, that is the get out of jail free card. That wipes out all of your punishment. So once you've earned one of these indulgences, you can apply it to yourself. You know, maybe you can take care of some of the punishment you deserve once you make it to purgatory. Or you can apply it to somebody who is already believed to be in purgatory, somebody that's already died and you believe that they're there. So how can you get one of these indulgences? There's many ways. Here's some of them. You can merely doing the sign of the cross. You know how you see a lot of Catholics that kind of do that sign of the cross on their head, they do the forehead and then their chest, and then they go kind of shoulder to shoulder, and you hear them say the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, sometimes. Well, sorry, guys, but okay. When I was a younger Catholic, I always saw the sign of the cross as kind of like dialing the phone number of God. So you kind of, it's kind of like, you know, the pushing the buttons on your phone. So you kind of get ready to pray, and then you're like, and then, this is the answering service for heaven. God is not in right now, but if you'd like to leave a message after the beep, feel free to do so. Otherwise, if you know the extension of the saint you would like to reach, please dial it now. Okay, and I apologize. Yes, I'm making light of this, but I kid you not. When I was younger, that's how I saw it. And I was a Catholic. It was strange to me that we always did that, and I never understood it. But anyway, let's go on. Doing the sign of the cross would relieve about 3 years of purgatory. Reciting the rosary in a family group could get you a partial indulgence of 10 years. And some of you are going, what is a rosary? Well, we'll get to that. But basically, it's one of those things that it kind of looks like a necklace. Some people even wear them around their neck. Some people put them on the mirrors of their car. But it's got all these beads, and each bead represents a prayer. And you kind of, you put your thumb and your forefinger on one of the beads, and you say that prayer. And then you move another bead, and you say that prayer. And you move another bead, and you say that prayer. It's a whole lot of Our Fathers, which you Christians are familiar with. Most of the prayers, I hate to say it, are a prayer called the Hail Mary. And I can't tell you how many Hail Marys I've said in my life. God forgive me. But anyway, you'd go through this entire rosary. If you were good, you could do it in an hour. There's apparently Catholics that can do it in far less. In fact, they kind of, well, anyway, there's even some competitions on how fast you can do the entire rosary. But anyway, that is besides the point. It's very repetitious, very repetitious. And boy, it's so dry. It is so dry of anything that has any relationship at all to the Father, to Christ. Anyway, another way you can get an indulgence is visiting a Catholic shrine. Another thing I failed to mention, but another way to shorten somebody's stay in purgatory is you can ask the priest to say a mass on somebody's behalf. And if they do this, this apparently weighs pretty heavy in the heavenlies, and it will apparently drastically reduce their time in purgatory. A mass, what is a mass? Well, we'll get into that later, but it's kind of similar to our church service. But anyway, let's sum this up a little bit. You have to do all this meritorious works to gain the merit to achieve final justification, right? Okay, you have all these good works you have to achieve. But even though you've done all these good works, you still have temporal punishment that you have to work off. Okay, you can do it now, or you can do it later. Whether it's in the fire or just the absence of God, well, that's for Catholics to debate. But you've got all this stuff to do, and then you're still probably going to have this time of purging. Now, let me ask you this. The Gospels keep talking about the good news. The good news is talked about throughout the entire New Testament. Does that sound like good news to you guys? Seriously, does that sound like good news? I'll tell you what sounds like good news. When Jesus was on the cross and he was about to die, okay, he yelled out, "It is finished." That, my friends, is good news. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is good news. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is good news. I'm getting charismatic here. That is good news. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Friends, that is good news. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, for who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Philippians 3:9, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's good news. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That is awesome. I'm serious. That is so cool. It was one offering. One offering. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It was one offering. And I'm going to stop right there. With that, come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and leave a comment, leave a question, and you can also catch up with me on Facebook. And, well, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.